A while back, I got a news release from someone running for Congress, and it went on and on about how much money the candidate had raised. Now, I've received hundreds, maybe even thousands, as long as I've been in this business, of similar press releases over the decades. But this one really hit me wrong for some reason. I think it's all this talk about all the money that's going into politics, growing concern about it influencing politics. And I got to wondering, why would a candidate brag about this? So I did what most of us do. I got up on Facebook and indulged in a little rant. And since a lot of reporters and pundits and political consultants are on Facebook there, they kind of set me right pretty quickly. One of them was Joe DeSano at DeSano Strategies in Lansing, and he joins us now. So, Joe, why would a candidate brag about money being raised?
Well, it's kind of like in the venture capital industry. The more money you raise, the more money you attract. And there's also an intimidation factor for your opponents to be able to keep up.
Let's break those two things down. So the money you raise means you can raise more money. Tell me the logic in that.
Well, a lot of it is basic human nature that folks want to be associated with a winner. And if they see that candidate X has $1.5 million in the coffers and candidate B has only $750,000 and there's no real philosophical difference between them, people make the extrapolation that candidate with the most money will win. That's the person that they'll probably end up going with.
And the other thing you said was intimidation of the other candidates. How does that work?
Well, if one candidate is especially skilled at raising money and the other isn't, releasing these numbers is a psychological attempt to break the will of your opponent and publicly force them to admit that they can't keep up on the fundraising end of things, which, again, also attracts more money.
Now, since you and some others kind of slapped me down a little bit and basically said, have you thought about this at all? I got to thinking about it, and I realized, well, at least this wasn't dark money. It wasn't super PAC money. This is money the candidate actually raised. It's going to be revealed in the report.
Yes, it's disclosed.
Yeah, and so I think that maybe that might make a difference, but maybe not. What do you think voters think of that?
I don't think voters spend much time at all really worrying about campaign finance numbers and where the money comes from. If they did, we would have a real conversation about campaign finance reform in this country, and voters don't make their decisions based on money. Insiders are voracious in their appetite for these numbers. The people who actually see these numbers are really kind of a self-selected group of people: journalists, political junkies, activists, consultants, passive observers, not the general public.
But you hear the public complain about money in politics all the time in some broad, ambiguous ways. They might mention Citizens United or something like this. So why don't they care enough? Are they just getting cynical and saying, writing everybody off to say they're all bought anyway?
I think the general assumption is that all politicians at some level are bought and paid for.
And it brings the meme of the NASCAR uniforms for members of Congress with all the advertising.
Well, and also it's just so depressing that no one knows where to start.
Well, it's not that hard. The information is available to anyone on the record for the most part, except for the super PACs and some of this dark money.
And let me say this. That's where the real problem is.
The dark money.
The dark money, the hidden money. You may have well just turned back the clock to the good old days, so to speak. I say that tongue-in-cheek, of delivering campaign cash in paper bags. That's essentially what we have now.
Do typical voters see these press releases about raising money? Does it seem unseemly to them, or do they just not even see this or notice it?
I think that it's unseemly to them, but I don't think it factors into their decision on who to vote for.
What do you think of it? I mean, you've been in this business for a while. You follow politics. Your wife's a columnist and writer, journalist. You guys follow this stuff closely, or do you just kind of shrug your shoulders?
Oh, we do follow it. We were having a conversation just this morning about some of the latest numbers that were filed with the state of Michigan, who raised money, who didn't raise money.
Right, a couple of million bucks just with the state legislature in this last filing, right?
Correct, and that's part of what we were discussing this morning. I come at it from two points of view. You know, I'm able to separate my personal feelings from my professional feelings. The professional feelings are that it's very pragmatic. It's a strategy and a tactic that works, and you continue doing it until it doesn't work. The reformer in me is aghast and disgusted. And, you know, as I get older, the reformer in me actually starts to have a larger voice. So,
yeah, but you benefit from this. I mean, you're in the business. Well, you make money off of this.
But I'm good at what I do, so I want to benefit in any circumstance.
Okay. That's Joe DeSanto with DeSanto Strategies and one of the many people in Michigan who straighten me out from time to time. Thanks for taking the time right now.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.